Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart. Welcome to Real Science Radio. Fred Williams is on assignment. Well, the last few weeks, couple months of Real Science Radio, you've met early Earth educators and Covenant Media. Remember the geologist Virginia Norman, her husband Brian, who wrote Early Earth Book 2, and then the Hasselblads with Covenant Media, Matt and Mercy Hasselblad. Well, I've been meeting a whole new group of creationists. Young, talented, excited creationists. And one thing in common is they've all worked with, they all admire this guy named Eric Hoven. You might recognize his name of Creation Today. And Eric asked a question of Bill Nye, the science guy, a while back. So first, I want to welcome, and what an honor it is to have Eric Hoven on Real Science Radio. Hello, Eric.
Hey. Hey, Bob, thanks so much for having me on. I cannot tell you how many times I've shared your conversation with Jack Horner to people. Oh, what a classic. So it's a pleasure, absolute pleasure to talk with you.
Well,
today.
Thank you for pointing that out. We're embedding that conversation, Eric, in a dinosaur soft tissue film, a 2-hour film coming out on YouTube, and it's on a channel that has 120,000 subscribers.
Wow.
So Lord willing, there are going to be hundreds of thousands of people who will learn that dinosaurs are missionary lizards.
Amen to that. That's exactly right. People need to hear these truths and need to realize that some people don't want the truth exposed.
Yeah. Hey, Eric, in maybe a little bit, we'll talk more about creation today, but could we start with your question you put to Bill Nye, the science guy?
Absolutely. I had the privilege of going to hear Bill Nye speak at the University of Florida. And we took a bunch of Ray Comfort DVDs and handed them out. There was a line that was at least a half a mile long waiting to get in to hear Bill Nye, the science guy.
Wow.
It was a first come, first serve, and students got tickets first. So we went in, and Bill Nye gave this talk about how we need to change the world and how it's up to science to change the world. And more of the students were getting riled up. In the middle of his talk, he shared the story about how he was at the World Fair in 1963.
Hey, Eric, I was at the same World's Fair in New York City in 1963. I was a little kid, but boy, do I remember the World's Fair. You're not kidding.
So do you remember? He says he remembers seeing the clock that had the world.
The population clock.
Yeah. He watched it turn from 4 billion to 5 billion people back there in 1963.
Wow.
And he was just kind of blown away with the number of people that were there and just really impressed.
Oh.
And he tells a story about how now, of course, there's over 7 billion people on the planet. And it was just, look, it's up to science to probe new frontiers and to find out, can we put life on Mars? Can we take a picture of Pluto? A picture of Pluto can change the world. And he was just kind of, pumping up science. And it was, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the lecture that he gave. And afterwards, they were going to do a question answer time. So I saw the guy with the microphone, and I had gotten the very last ticket to get in. The guy behind me didn't get in. I got the last ticket to get in, and I thought, God, this is a divine appointment. Saw the guy with the microphone right as Bill Nye was finishing up. So I followed him wherever he went. And sure enough, I was the first one in line to ask a question up in the balcony. I said, Bill, you said you watched the counter go from
4 billion to 5 billion.
Anyway, 1963, it crossed over one of the billion marks. Today, there's 7 billion people on the planet. How far backwards does the human population go? In other words, if we start today and trace that backwards, how far back can we go? He said, about 30,000 years. I said, well, I'm curious, if people have been here for 3 million years,
right,
how come there's not more people?
Whoa.
And instead of answering the question, he said, do you doubt evolution? I thought, this is classic. He's just going to throw out that evolution is a fact. And sure enough, the whole audience laughed at me because, they're scientists and they know the truth. And
right.
He said, do you doubt evolution? And And I said, well, actually, I do believe that there's a lot of science that goes against the evolution worldview. Mm. And he went on to talk about evolution as a fact. Now, never really did address the issue that today's current population shows the entire world population started, honestly, about 4,400 years ago. When you include all the different diseases and famines and wars, started about 4,400 years ago. And that matches up perfectly with what God's
Eric,
word says. 4,400 years ago, there was a flood.
Yes, Eric, and by the way, it was in 1963, that's when the population crossed over to 3 billion people.
That's it, the 3 billion mark,
and then
my
four,
apologies. And
yeah,
then
no.
In the 80s, it was 5, yeah. And then in 99, it was 6.
Yeah,
okay.
And so what's happened now is if, in fact, human beings, even if we were only here for a million years, there should be trillions of graves all over the world. Trillions.
Absolutely.
Fossils by the billions of fossils of human skulls. But none of that is there, and your point is so powerful because it's mathematical. It's based on very well-known population statistics. Basic formula.
Amazed. World Book Encyclopedia did an article, and they used that 1 million-year time frame, and they slowed. They said, what if the population only grew 1/170th of what it's actually growing today, 0.0001%?
Right.
You would double the number of people every 7,000 years. So a million years ago, 2 people. 7,000 years later, 4. 7,000 years later, 8. In 1 million years, you would have the number 21 followed by, I think it's 17 zeros, is how many people would be on planet Earth in 1 million years at that rate.
Yes. So clearly the Earth does not have a record of an evolutionary history of mankind. In fact, civilization, language, architecture, everything began in the recent past in the Middle East, as we read from the book of Genesis. So there the population of mankind affirms the scriptures, of course. But how about natural history? Eric, we've gone a dozen times to the Grand Canyon, and we've rafted in the Colorado River. We love the testimony there to the truth of God's word. I know that you give tours there. Is that true?
We do every Memorial Day weekend. Russ Miller from Creation Ministries, Creation Evolution and Science Ministries, and myself give a tour of the Grand Canyon. I know there's several people that do that. You need to go on one of these tours and look at the Grand Canyon from a creation perspective. When you see the geology there through the evidence of the flood, and you realize when you're standing on top of Grand Canyon, did you know that there is over a mile of missing strata that would be on top of the Grand Canyon? We're not missing just 900 cubic miles of sediment.
Right.
That's how much is missing from the Grand Canyon. We're missing hundreds of thousands of cubic miles of sediment. And we see this in the plateaus that are at both entrances to the Grand Canyon. It's a stratified layer, and you don't find those layers again until you go 40 miles north and you see the cliffs. And those cliffs up there are eroded away for hundreds of thousands of square miles. And you see through what's called the Grand Staircase evidence of a worldwide flood that absolutely devastated this planet. You know, it's our bus driver on this last trip, her name was Mary. We got done with the trip, and we're unpacking at the hotel back in Phoenix. And Mary said, you know, as I drove through, I've done this for 17 years, you're right. This is all water. Water did all this. She's been doing that trip 17 years, or doing tours on, you know, a bus driver for 17 years, and she's never seen it from the right perspective. So
well,
it is an eye-opening experience when you realize
for what
this is evidence of the flood.
Yes, for what you just described, when we drive down from Denver to the Grand Canyon, in fact, 100 times I've flown over that part of the country, and it's so obvious it's all a floodplain. But as you're driving, when you talk about the cliffs that are exposed, there's, I think it's the Vermilion Cliffs. If you're driving, depending on north or south, whether it's on your right or your left, and you see the strata as clear as could be, many miles to the north. Then you look many miles to the south, and you see the exact same cliffs with the same strata. And you realize that all of this was filled in with sedimentary rock, and it's all gone. It's all gone. Thousands
it's amazing. I mean, it really is a phenomenal feat. We did a creation minute on the Grand Canyon to show what really happened to the Grand Canyon. When you see it through the proper perspective, it really does make sense.
Oh, and your creation minutes, thank you for making those The one you did on math is one of my favorite ones, but we've seen all of them. We shared them with our friends. They're just tremendous. I mean, in 60 seconds. And what a tremendous, the production quality, Eric. It's like you're standing in the middle of a flood. You're standing in the middle of a jungle. It's just fabulous. Thank you for doing such a great job with those.
Man, our pleasure. I'm not the smartest guy out there, but I can at least try to make it look good. So that's well, what we want to do.
And that's creationminute.com. And we have to get to your creation today. And in fact, your dad being free again for his creation ministry. But yep. A little bit more on the Grand Canyon. We learned from a geologist, Dr. Stephen Austin, and he's been invited to speak to the rangers at the Grand Canyon, that there are nautiloid fossils at the bottom of the Redwall Limestone. He has counted one nautiloid fossil every square meter, which means millions. And you could follow the Redwall all the way to Las Vegas on Las Vegas Boulevard. And even there where it's exposed, there are nautiloid fossils even in Vegas.
Yes.
And one out of eight of them are buried vertically. And some of them are as long as your forearm. So simply the nautiloid refutes the claim that limestone is formed one grain at a time at the bottom of a shallow, placid sea over millions of years. This was a catastrophic mass kill and a high energy flow that destroyed those millions of marine organisms.
Unless for some reason all those marine organisms decided to go to that one place and lay the same direction and die.
Right.
But you're right. A catastrophic event makes a whole lot more sense.
Yeah, it really does. And that explains all the strata, the layers of the Grand Canyon. Where there
it's amazing to me. You find sedimentary layers all over the earth. What does sedimentary layers mean? It means laid down by water. Hello, we've got a worldwide flood evidence
everywhere.
All over the world in these sedimentary layers.
With billions of dead things deposited, including seashells on the tops of the major mountain ranges. So the evidence for God's hand in creation is everywhere on the earth. And not only the creation, but then also the fall because of mankind's behavior and the global flood. It's all there for anyone who has eyes to see. So, Eric, could we talk about, we're celebrating, some of our church members went to one of your dad's last hearings. We are so thrilled that Kent Hovind is now free to minister again. And when we think about you being a young guy and basically taking over the reins, but of your own creation ministry, Creation Today, could you tell us a bit about that?
Yes, well, I got to tell you, it is a blessing to have Dad home, to be able to walk down the street and talk with him and watch him teach my children, watch him teach his grandkids. What an absolute blessing it is. That was a long 9 years, but I got to tell you, it was like we hit pause and hit play a few weeks ago when he got home, and it's amazing. So it's a blessing to have Dad back. Our ministry, Creation Today, is really multifaceted. We've got a lot of different things going on. Our desire is to equip the church with the answers they need to defend their faith. And so we cover a lot of different apologetic topics, including all the creation versus evolution, hence the name Creation Today. We produce the Creation Today show, which is aired on a lot of different networks around the world, and you can watch it at creationtoday.org. It's a 30-minute show where we interview experts, a lot like what you do. We just throw it up on for television. We love going to churches, traveling and speaking, get to do that all the time, and presenting the creation material. Mm. We just launched the Creation Network, which I'm really excited about, because my goal as a creation ministry is to serve all the other people that are doing the work of creation ministry. And I figure the best way to lead is by serving. That's what Jesus did. So we're practicing servant leadership, and we've started with visitcreation.org, which is an incredible website that shows where all the different places in America are that have a creation museum or a creation tour of a secular museum. Huh. So visitcreation.org lets you find out where you really can go and not have to be lied to from the secular world.
Boy, that's just
great. One out of about five different websites that we're starting to serve the creation community.
Well, Eric, what I love about what you do, and I have to hand it to you, far beyond Real Science Radio, you have a tremendous vision and you accomplish so much. What a team you have. It's just thrilling. I know that maybe in a couple minutes we'll talk about your project, Genesis 3D. But you guys are accomplishing so much. One of the things you've done is work to get creation materials translated into other languages.
Yes, we've been absolutely blessed. We've worked with over 200 volunteer translators. A gentleman named Paul Abramson has helped us with that. And we've got my dad's seminar series now in 42 different languages. And those are digital. Those are on YouTube. I mean, we're putting those out all over the place. We're not trying to build a mansion. We're trying to win a war. And so you don't ration bullets. Let's get this information out there. Let's make it happen.
Wow, that's exciting. By the way, you mentioned going to speak at churches, schools. We've just released on YouTube a video. I was invited to speak at Pepperdine University this summer because the school, it's a Church of Christ school in Malibu on the coast in California, but they have adopted an old earth, no global flood, theistic evolutionary worldview, which to us means they've compromised on Genesis. So I had the opportunity to speak there, invited by alumni who had a sort of a protest conference during the big Pepperdine lecture series right there on campus. And so we went through a list of what Pepperdine traded away, trading Genesis. When they gave up a literal understanding of Genesis, what did they get in return? And it was astounding. We saw seven examples of where the secular theory of origins, they actually have no theory. Like origin of species begins with species already in existence. And the origin of stars begins with stars exploding in supernova to form new stars. And the origin of life comes from pre-existing life in outer space. We gave seven examples where they are in full retreat with a few hypotheses they had, and now they're left with nothing. Even the universe, they say, came from a pre-existing multiverse. So they absolutely have nothing to offer in exchange for God's word.
Well, I am a big fan of taking what work other people have done and using it. So I am going to use that. That is fantastic. I got to get a link to that.
Well, thank you. We'll send you that right after the show, Eric. And so your dad is back. We're so thrilled. Back in the 90s, mid-90s, on Bob and Yurt Live, at the time, we were on 80 cities, five nights a week for an hour, from Honolulu to Orlando, full power, TV, broadcast, cable, satellite, everything. And we aired a full week. So that means 5 hours of your dad's creation seminar. And I tell you, it was one of the most successful things we've ever done. 100,000 people at least were thrilled to learn the truth that God's word is literal and we could trust Jesus, of course, and Moses. And so we have a debt of gratitude to your family. In some ways, you guys have been at the heart of the creation movement for decades. So thank you for that.
Man, it is a pleasure to serve Christ and to serve him with people like you. There are so many people, Bob, and you know this. They are hungry for answers. They're tired of being lied to. They know the world is pushing a big lie, but they just don't know what the alternative is. They don't know what the truth is. And man, we've got the truth. We can share that with them. Hey, to your listeners, if you haven't shared the truth with somebody, do it today, for crying out loud, with Facebook and all the different opportunities that are out there. Get busy. Nothing else matters. Let's go.
Yeah, you know, Eric, the last time I had the opportunity to do that, I was sitting in a coffee shop, and that was early today. And there's a guy there, probably 60 years old. His name's Mickey. He's got a technical background. And I asked him if he heard about the dinosaur soft tissue. And so on my computer, I turn around my MacBook Pro, and I show him the video and photos of blood vessels from a T-Rex. His eyes are popping out of his head. And we got to talk about the book of Genesis and that God's word is true and there was a global flood and these things are missionary lizards. And then sharing the gospel with Mickey. So he and I are going to meet again 1 week from today, and we're going to both read the Gospel of John and talk about it.
Amen. See, Bob, if you can do it, now I know you got a lot of knowledge because you get to talk to a lot of guests, but anybody who's listened to your show for more than two times, they ought to be able to have something to talk with people about. Come on, people.
Oh, yeah. An open door. There are open doors everywhere.
Yes.
I mean, it's so easy to talk to people about the Lord. And so, Eric, two other things I'd like us to talk about. There was erected in America, and I'm glad it was not too far from you guys in Florida, a monument to atheism, which is devastating, but I'm glad it was near you. Could you tell us about that?
You know, I was blown away a couple summers ago when I heard that the atheists were going to erect the first monument to atheism in the history of America. They got so mad at the Ten Commandments, saying, what a pointless monument. Of course, Ronald Reagan, I think, said it right. If we only kept the Ten Commandments, we could get rid of 95% of the laws in America today. Maybe more than that.
Yeah, right.
Well, they said that's pointless. They sued to have this monument removed out of a little bitty town here in Florida. And I couldn't believe it. They lost the lawsuit, so they said, fine, we're going to build our own monument. And they wanted their monument to be practical, to serve mankind. So they made it a bench. If you look it up on our website or on Google, you'll find the atheist monument is a bench. Well, I went there. I thought, you know, it'd be really cool to go there and hang out with my atheist friends and interview them. And so we went over, had a great time that day. They gave all their speeches, all these famous atheists, and then they unveiled their bench, and they were all cheering and clapping. And then they went over there with David Silverman, the president of the American Atheist Association. I had just debated David Silverman about a month earlier, and you can actually watch that on a DVD called How to Answer the Fool, which is a fabulous, fabulous teaching series on how to talk to these atheists.
How to answer the fool, and that's a biblical term. The Bible says the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Every year we celebrate National Atheist Day on April 1st.
April Fool's
Day. So,
and I know some people take offense to that, and they go, listen, this is what the Bible calls them. And it's not using the term fool the same way Mr. T used it. It's saying intellectually, come on, it's foolish to say that God does not exist. It really is.
Of course. And by the way, for the audience, you could see Eric blaspheming an atheist monument on YouTube. Just search for Hovind Atheist Monument. It'll be the top thing, the YouTube video. It's just a minute
long. Oh, man. Here's what happened. I'm standing there, and it was just one of those promptings from the Holy Spirit saying, hey, you should share the gospel with all these atheists. And I thought, oh, man, they've heard this. They're just going to reject it again. Yeah, they don't need to hear it. And then another nudge, you know, you need to do this. And I'm sitting there debating, do I share the gospel with these guys? And I'm looking at their bench, and the side of the bench is about 4 feet tall, and it's a 2-foot by 2-foot granite pillar. It's like a big giant podium. And I thought, surely, God, you don't want me to do that. And then about that time, David Silverman turned around and he said, Hovind, are you trying to photobomb me?
Yeah.
I thought, uh-oh, there's my sign. So I jumped up there and just shared the gospel with the atheist community and gave him the truth of God, which is that, man, he created us. He died for the sins of the world. And anybody who repents and puts their trust in him can be saved. And their tolerance. How do you start talking to people like that? I realized right away I'm going to have an open. So as I'm kind of getting up there, I'm like, what am I going to say?
Yeah.
I got up there and I said, I'd like to thank the tolerance of the American atheists. I'm standing on their monument and they preach tolerance. I need some of that right now. I need a lot of their tolerance.
Yeah.
Well, so you know, if you watch the video, their tolerance lasts about 17 seconds.
Yeah.
And then after that, they're not tolerant anymore.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
So,
but it was great to get to share the gospel.
Eric, we're just sharing, getting to know each other, reminiscing a little. So that reminds me of something I do not recommend others doing. But Eric, some years back, it was probably going to be a blockbuster, very godless, immoral. And at a midnight showing in the theater, there must have been 2,000 people in line. And so I don't recommend people doing this. But I jumped up on top of a trash can and I said, excuse me, we only have 90 seconds. I'm going to be asked by the police to leave. I need your attention. And you could have heard a pin drop. And we had 20 people there with gospel tracts. And I said, there are people handing out tracts. You need to take these because you've been lied to. There is a God. You were made in his image, in his likeness. He died on the cross for you. He rose from the dead. And sure enough, right on cue, security guards came and they asked me to leave and we left. We were happy to. It's just great when you're able to open your mouth and speak. There are so many people who want to hear the truth.
Yes, there are.
So
yes, there are.
We only have maybe time for another topic or two, maybe. I know that your ministry, Creation Today, focuses on apologetics. And even the philosophical basis of knowledge. Could you talk to us, to me and our audience, about that aspect of what you do?
Yeah, I really got, after growing up in the creation ministry, I mean, here my dad had traveled and spoke on it 900 times a year for umpteen years, and I really had been exposed to a lot of creation material. And I was frustrated that the mouths of the atheists were not stopped. I went, how come they just keep on coming back and they keep on coming back? And, you know, you read passages of scripture, you know, Proverbs 26, 4 and 5, answer not a fool according to his folly. And then verse 5, answer a fool according to his folly so that he's not wise in his own eyes. And how do we do that in a way to shut the mouth, to silence the mouth of those that would try to reject the truth of God? And I really have enjoyed getting to learn over the past 7 years, learn really what's known as presuppositional apologetics. And I kind of one more of the tools in the belt, so to speak, for anybody who wants to defend their faith in God. But I really enjoyed learning and studying how to talk to the atheist and show them a mirror to say, here's what you're saying. So instead of me simply saying, hey, here's how I can prove God, because the Bible says everybody believes in God. Romans chapter 1, they know God exists. Mm. They suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So how do I show them that mirror? And I've got several questions that I ask. I cover this on a DVD called The Mind of the Skeptic. How do we get into the mind of the skeptic and really address and get them to see this? Questions like this. Here's one of them. I say, if I could prove God to your satisfaction, would you worship him? I was at the largest gathering of atheists in the history of the world, the Reason Rally, 2 years ago, 3 years ago now. Mm. And I asked that question to a lot of atheists, even famous atheists, and their answer was, no, I wouldn't worship him. I said, see, this is no longer a head issue. This isn't an intellectual issue. It's a heart issue. Mm. You don't want to believe in God. Mm. So what does it look like to engage with the skeptics on the level that shows them their own foolishness, exposes it to themselves? So I really enjoyed getting to learn how to do that, and some great questions to ask, some things to point out, so that rather than me being on the defense with them asking all the questions, I go on the offense and I ask some questions, and these questions set up the Christian worldview, and they absolutely destroy any other worldview that tries to approach it. And so I've really enjoyed getting to learn that and then now teaching that to others through conferences and the DVDs and stuff like that. It's just a real joy.
That's super. We had an atheist conference here, a weekend conference, not long ago. So, of course, you know, you're a Christian. What do? You go to the atheist conference. And so I had an absolutely wonderful time there because it's like a kid in a candy shop. There's no end of people who want to talk to you. So I'm sharing the Lord with them. And there was a scientist from NOAA up in Boulder, the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration. And she was there to talk about global warming. And so when her talk was done, she sat down next to me in a break. And I, of course, she found out immediately I was the Christian there. And now it's turned out even again on the Drudge Report that NOAA has been cooking the books, dramatic fraud in changing the temperature data in the past decades to make it look like there's been warming. I mean, just dramatic fraud. But at any rate, she asked me, their main theme of that convention was that Christians are cruel to children because we teach them about hell. And it's as though all we do is tell kids that there's a hell, right? It's like we never tell kids there's a heaven and God loves you and wants to live with you forever in heaven. So she asked me, the scientist, she said, so how do you respond to that? And I said, well, you atheists tell children that when their loved ones die, they're gone. And that when they die, they're gone. There's nothing but abandonment for the child, for the grandparent who comes to the end of their earthly life. I said, that's cruel. That is despair. That is no future. That is no eternal life offered from God. So when you look at the two, a loving God who wants to live with you forever, and all you have to do is trust in him, put your faith in him, turn to him, versus the despair of atheism, which is cruel to children. And you know what she said? She said, well, that is a good point.
Oh, wow.
So
yes, they see it. Good.
Yeah. So, Eric, we just need to open our mouths and to share. So
Amen.
Another few minutes. I'm time for me to find out and for the audience to find out about Genesis 3D. So why don't we talk about that?
That's an exciting one right there. You've seen the creation minutes. You said you guys have shared those creation minutes. The guy who did those, his name is Ralph Strain, and he approached me years ago as we were doing these creation minutes. He said, listen, technology is at a level. We can actually produce the creation of the world We can show people right. what it was like when God created the world. I mean, how many times have we read, in the beginning God created heavens and the earth? But thousands. Wow. He said, Eric, we can show it to them. And we went before our board and did some more research. Finally, 4 years ago, we launched into a long journey to produce a movie called Genesis, and now it's in 3D. So it's called the Genesis 3D movie. Wow. You can find out about that at genesismovie.com. And we are showing people how God created the world. We're going into the science with scientists. We've interviewed, man, about a dozen different scientists on the topics that are associated with this. And it's going to be a real blow to the evolution worldview.
Oh, I'm just thrilled.
How the creation happened.
Do you have an estimate of when this will be available?
Well, we have to be done with raising support and done with the film by July of this next year. So we've got a little less than a year to go, and this film will be done. And then our goal is to take it to theaters. We're already working with distributors right now on what that's going to look like and how that's going to take place. So very excited about the potential of this as it comes out, hopefully a little more than a year from right now in theaters.
Wow.
And we can, man, I'm telling you, when I say a blow to the evolution worldview, I mean a sledgehammer to the evolution worldview. This thing is powerful.
Well,
and it takes people from the creation all the way to the cross. We end with the gospel. And let me tell you, Ray Comfort does an incredible job.
Oh, yeah.
I watched him give the invitation in the interview. I was there live when we taped it, and then I went back and watched it again, and I'm just telling you, this thing is going to be phenomenal.
He's a hero of ours. We normally have him on when he has a new video out, and his audacity on homosexuality,
yes.
just tremendous.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Absolutely fantastic. Eric, God bless you. We're just so humbled and thrilled to get to interview you. It's really a joy.
Bob, please, the pleasure really is mine. I've heard of you and listened to your stuff for a long time, and you've been around the block, and you've interviewed everybody, and
yeah.
I tell you what, this is just awesome to get to be a part of what you do, and thank you for serving the body of Christ, and even specifically serving Creation Ministries, which is a big heartbeat of mine.
Well, you're very welcome. Eric's website is creationtoday.org, creationtoday.org. Eric, God bless you, and your father, we pray for your whole family. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. God bless.
You're welcome. So this is Bob Enyart for Real Science Radio. Our co-host, Fred Williams, has been on assignment, but we're hoping that he'll be back in studio next week. We'll see if that's possible. And our website, realscienceradio.com, and then our store. Just click on our store for the very best of creation materials. May God bless you.